Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Summer is moving right along, isn't it? I'm already starting to plan for Reformation Sunday and All Saints Sunday, and I just got in the mail a packet of sample Advent devotions to go through and pick out which ones we're going to order. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm very ready for autumn weather, but goodness, doesn't it feel like summer has gone by so quickly already? I mean, our wonderful Christmas in July service was already 2 weeks ago. It was a wonderful service. That day, I shared the Christmas story by reading to the children from a book called A Very Noisy Christmas. A Very Noisy Christmas. You know, we sing songs like Silent Night as we ponder with deep awe the wonder of what God did by being born as a human in Jesus. But the reality is that it probably wasn't a silent night at all. Mary gave birth to a child, and we know that birthing is a hard and painful process. She gave birth in a stable with animals surrounding them and shepherds coming to tell them what all they had experienced. And although I'm sure Jesus was an adorable baby, he would have cried and he might have even been kind of fussy. In its own way, this story, A Very Noisy Christmas, reminds us that the birth of Jesus wasn't some idyllic event and it didn't happen in a silent movie. It was a messy and noisy, certainly amazing and wonderful, but a very probably chaotic reality of giving birth. Which brings us to the words of the Apostles' Creed we're going to explore today. I believe in Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Now you might be saying, hold on, Pastor Anna, that's a lot of things to put into one sermon, and don't worry, I promise you won't be here all day as I preach on it. But I've combined them all together today because basically the purpose of these things in the Creed is to say that Jesus is fully human. We've spent the last couple of Sundays exploring how Jesus is fully God. Today, we're going to look at the other part of that. So if you remember all the way back to the beginning of this sermon series, we said that the purpose of a creed is that it's a confession of belief about who God is and how God acts. And the creeds have two main purposes: to affirm faith in the Trinity, and to help bolster believers against those views that at the time seemed the greatest threat to the Christian faith. Well, one of the greatest threats to the Christian faith in those earliest centuries was the belief that Jesus wasn't actually human. It's kind of hard to imagine this because in our modern times that has flip-flopped, right? Because most people think, yeah, he was a human, sure, he was a good guy, yeah, that's nice. But more people now have a hard time believing that he was God. Back then, it was just the opposite. So in those early centuries, the people that claimed that Jesus wasn't human didn't think that he was actually born. Of course, he couldn't have suffered if he didn't have a body, and he certainly couldn't have died. They denied all of that. And so part of the purpose of the creed, and certainly these statements that we're looking at today, was to say, no, Jesus was fully 100% human. He was born, he suffered, he died, and he was buried. So let's look at a couple of the statements and explore what they mean and why it matters. So when we hear that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, we all think in terms of modern biology, because we know that conception comes from the union of two cells, one from the biological father and one from the biological mother. On the basis of this modern understanding of biology, some people think that that then means that the creed is saying that Jesus is half human and half God. His mother Mary is where he gets the human part, and the Holy Spirit is where he gets the God part. But those thoughts are based on modern biology, which these ancient people would have no idea or understanding of, because we believe that Jesus is 100% human and 100% divine. But this ancient understanding of biology, they wouldn't have understood DNA. They wouldn't have even known it existed. They certainly didn't have an understanding of the internal human anatomy either. So what they are trying to communicate with the words conceived by the Holy Spirit is not to explain Jesus' biological origin. Instead, when it says conceived by the Holy Spirit, the creed is affirming two central things about Jesus. One, that his birth was something incredibly special. And two, that his birth was real. These words are trying to make it abundantly clear that Jesus' conception was completely God's action and was not a result of natural forces. Let's think about Pontius Pilate and why he might be included in the creed. Have you ever wondered why, of the three humans named in the creed, Pontius Pilate, a Gentile, is one of them? Well, contrary to popular belief, it's not to blame him for Jesus' suffering or crucifixion, but rather to date his death. The creed wouldn't date it by saying that Jesus died 33 AD, because that way of dating hadn't appeared yet at the time of Jesus. Instead, at that time, the dating was based on counting the years since the formation of Rome, or it was based on who was ruling at a particular time. And if you think back, this happens a lot in Scripture. So what the creed is trying to say when Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, that it didn't happen just once upon a time, but it happened at a very particular time and in a very particular place. Jesus suffered, was crucified, died, and was buried at the time of Pontius Pilate. He, as a human being, lived in a very particular time at a very particular place. The last four verbs of this part of the creed that we're exploring today, suffered, crucified, died, and buried, these are also to emphasize that Jesus was 100% human. For those that believed he wasn't, they thought that his supposed crucifixion was just an illusion. And other people thought that Simon of Cyrene didn't just carry the cross for Jesus, that he actually died on the cross for Jesus. And some of Jesus' followers just said that it was Jesus and not Simon. But because Jesus was fully human, with his body, with his mind, with his heart, he suffered. He was crucified. He died, and he was buried. But why does it matter to us that Jesus was fully human? Why does it matter that Jesus had a body? From his birth, Jesus entered fully and completely into the messiness of life. We know that birth is messy, and so much of life is messy. And yet Jesus completely and willingly entered into the messiness of human life so that he could be with us in the messiness of our lives. Because the truth is that God in Jesus Christ is not remote from suffering. Jesus isn't unacquainted with the suffering that we experienced. Suffering isn't something that happens over here while Jesus is over there. Jesus doesn't simply observe the suffering of humankind. He willingly and completely plunges himself into it. He wrestles with sin and with evil and with all the brokenness of the world. And in his death, he is completely victorious over all of it. We so often wrongly think that because we believe in God, that that should make us immune to hard times or struggles or suffering. Or we sometimes think that if we struggle or suffer, that God is far away. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because even though we walk through the darkest of valleys, Christ is right there, walking beside us. Christ is and always will be our Emmanuel. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was so determined to share the very worst of human suffering that he endured a horrific and brutal death on the cross so that he can sustain us in our suffering and in our dying, and so that he could break the hold that death has over us. Not only has Jesus endured the deepest of suffering, but he is with us in the deepest of our sufferings, because nothing, no thing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, because in all these things, we are more than victorious through Christ who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This, brothers and sisters, is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.